number 12, which is an update on the implementation and nutrient offset program for the city of Santa Rosa. I'm good. I'm good. I'm okay. Okay. Did you do that? It's in on the table. She's coming to you, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Charles Reed, it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
Okay, we have an update on the implementation of nutrient offset program for the city of Santa Rosa, and it's all yours, mister.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Charles Reed. That's for you, Donna. Staff engineer at the North Coast Board here. The purpose of this presentation is to provide the board an update on this ongoing program, the Santa Rosa Nutrient Offset Program. It's also an opportunity to provide a little background to board member Tynes, who wasn't here when this program was being developed. Dave Kuzmar gave a little bit of a foreshadowing of this presentation and its impact on early implementation of the nutrient TMD. I'd like to thank him for teeing that up for me. So I'm going to talk specifically today about the background, where this program came from. Some of our goals and objectives, the basic framework of the policy or the program, what projects we've seen and approved, and what single project we have still under review. I'll talk about some of the challenges we've had trying to implement this, challenges and successes we've had implementing this program so far. And finally, I'll end up where we see this program going. And that was also foreshadowed a bit by Ms. Minton, who was talking about the water quality trading program. So as mentioned before, the primary drivers for this offset program for the city of Santa were the nutrient listing of the Laguna Santa Rosa and the resulting effluent limits that we have in the permit for the city of Santa Rosa for nitrogen and phosphorus, and that was a 2006 permit. This all took place in roughly the mid-2000, 2005, 2006, when the nutrient TMDL was in its beginning phases of development. Excuse me. There was an understanding that the TMDL would ultimately be allocating the nutrient loads in the watershed, and that would be driving the effluent limits, the final effluent limits in the permit for the city of Santa Rosa. So what we did is we developed an interim strategy at the time to limit the discharges of biostimulatory substances, nitrogen and phosphorus, so that the status quo was maintained until the TMDL was complete and the allocations for loading for nitrogen and phosphorus were established. So for this interim period, for the city of Santa Rosa's permit, we established a final nutrient limit for nitrogen and phosphorus of zero, or no net loading. This permit also suggested some possible options for complying with this fairly stringent limit. Those included treatment plant upgrades to reduce effluent concentrations of nitrogen and phosphorus. It offered a potential to increase diversions to recycled water program for the city to minimize nutrient discharges to the Laguna. And also we threw in there the possibility that an offset program, nutrient offset program, could be considered. Although at the time we really didn't have any experience with this, we weren't even really sure that the city would take up the idea of a nutrient offset program, but they did. What they did is they investigated a number of alternatives to try to meet this effluent limit zero, no net loading. They looked at enhanced nutrient removal. They also looked at moving the discharge location from the Laguna to the Russian River for other reasons as well. But those, they found those alternatives to be extremely costly and prohibitive. And that left them really with the most cost-effective means to comply, which was to comply and to develop and comply with the nutrient offset program. And so for a large part of 2007 and a large part of 2008, we sat down with the city and tried to come up with a program to allow them to comply with the permit and that that dealt with nutrients in their discharge. So after we came up with a proposed program, we put it to the board, you back in mid-2008, and you, with great foresight, I think, adopted the resolution approving the nutrient offset program. So first and foremost, I think the primary goal was and still is really for this nutrient offset program is to allow the city to comply with its final limits for nitrogen and phosphorus in its NPDES permit. I think later, as the idea of watershed-wide nutrient control and early implementation of the TMDL became more, since we started considering that more, this has turned into more of a become more of a critical component, I think, for the city to comply ultimately with the limits for total nitrogen in their existing permit and future permits. There are also some secondary benefits that over the course of the years we've seen potential for this program. We see that completed programs will improve habitat and ecosystem conditions, particularly where the projects involve habitat restoration, which is something that our staff was really encouraged to see while we were developing this program. We also see nutrient reduction projects providing general water quality enhancement by targeting non-point sources, which are typically hard for us to target. They're diffuse and diverse, and we don't have any ready regulatory mechanisms a lot of times to deal with these. So to deal with it under a nutrient offset program is very helpful. And finally, nutrient reduction projects provide some early TMDL implementation for the nutrient TMDL. So this here I will talk a little bit about the way the framework for the program is set up. So the process begins with the city submitting a nutrient offset proposal. In practice, however, the city comes to us in advance of this to give us a conceptual proposal to feel us out on whether we're receptive to the project and whether it has any fatal flaws. So once the city is confident that the proposal has a good likelihood of being approved, they'll officially submit it to us. And this begins a 60-day review process during which our staff reviews the project. We receive public comment, and the executive officer will approve or deny the project ultimately. So in reviewing the project eligibility, there are some conditions and requirements in the program that require that any activities that would be eligible for accrediting are not already required by a permit, a waiver, or other regional board action. To be eligible, a project should also result in some water quality benefit, preferably a long-term benefit. And a project must be satisfactorily reviewed under CEQA. So we spend a fair amount of time looking at the crediting calculations. We use empirical models, or usually the proposals so far have been using empirical models to determine the delivery and fate of nutrients from a project. So we look at this methodology. We check all the assumptions, check the duration of the proposed duration of the crediting to make sure it all makes sense. If there are any outstanding questions or issues, we deal with the city, try to resolve these still within the 60-day period, and then we make changes as appropriate. Also, during the 60-day period, we provide a 21-day public notice period. We do this by sending out, at least for these last two projects, we do this by sending out a list notification. And we post information about the project and our initial thoughts on the project on our regional board website. So no later than the end of the 60-day period, our executive office will issue a notice of approval or denial of the project. And finally, since this program really is all about compliance with effluent limits, there's a component of there is a requirement that the city will demonstrate that they comply with this, that they are able to offset as much nutrients as they discharge in a season. They do that annually to us to demonstrate that. So this slide is a list of the proposed projects that we've seen, the officially proposed projects that we've seen. And the first two have been approved. The third is still under review. The first project involved installation of best management practices to prevent non-point source discharges from the Beretta Dairy in southwest Santa Rosa. This was our first project. It attracted a lot of attention. I think probably because it was our first project, and we were trying to understand how we're going to implement this program effectively. It was actually a fairly small portion of the nutrient offset that the city believes that they need to offset annually, only 6% of that offset need. But still, it attracted a lot of attention. It was proposed in June 2012. It was approved in September 2012. The second project proposal we received involved road repair and stream crossing upgrades at the Pepperwood Preserve, which is located in the headwaters of Mark West Creek. This is actually quite a bit larger portion of the city's estimated offset need, 25%. This one we didn't receive much comment on. It was actually well received, I think partially because we had ironed out a lot of the problems after the first project. And it was also a project that I think tended to be in more in line with what the public and what we were expecting for these nutrient offset programs, really more restoration sort of projects. So this one was approved October 2012. The third project here is manure management projects at the Nunez Dairy, which is located at Windsor Creek at the confluence of Mark West Creek. This one was proposed in the end of October, and it's still under review. We have about another week or so of opportunity for public comment, and so after we receive public comment, if any, we'll move forward with approval or denial if that applies. Now this project is fairly sizable, as you might notice from the slide. It would offset approximately 94% of the estimated offset need for the city. So this is a very important one for them, and it actually is a very good project. It removes quite a lot of pent-up manure that's just sitting waiting to be discharged to surface waters. So at this point, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we've run into implementing this program. And like any new program, implementing it has been a little bit bumpy. The learning curve has been steep for us. It's been steep for the city and the environmental community, I think. Remember, there are a few well-established trading programs of this nature in California, and they're more common in the central part of the country in the East Coast, but it's very they're very rare here in California. And where our implementation procedures have been somewhat deficient, we've developed protocols and procedures to bridge those gaps and to make the program more smooth. So our main problems so far have really revolved around determining project eligibility. We need to ensure that the activities are not required by regional board permits or waivers. Also, they shouldn't be required by state regulations or federal requirements. And there is a desire that there be some sort of geographic nexus to the impairment. Part of the problem, I think, where we ran into problems with Beretta Dairy was we were dealing also with another new program, the dairy permitting program, which was whose main regulatory features, the waiver and the general WDR, were not real clear about what was required and what was over and above what was required by the permit. And over the course of reviewing that proposal, we've been able to work that out a little bit better, and I think that should help us in the future. Another challenge was trying to work our way through reviewing the credits. We're using, like I mentioned, empirical models that we're not familiar with. To a certain extent, we're following the lead of the city and their consultants, who have a lot more experience working with these empirical models. But they have taken the time and been very responsive to our questions and helped us and led us through all the calculations line by line on these Excel spreadsheet models that we've been using. So we're feeling very confident that they're making correct assumptions, conservative assumptions, and the credit calculations that come out of this these proposals are conservative in nature. For CEQA compliance, that was a bit of a sticking point for our first proposal. We think we've worked through that. The city had prepared a programmatic EIR that would cover many dairy projects and agricultural land use projects for nutrient offsets, and the city was using this environmental document to comply with CEQA, and we made an assessment that it was acceptable for our purposes. And finally, a challenge, I think one of the biggest challenges for me has been trying to do all this review and provide public comment in a 60-day period, you know, with all the other demands we have on our time. We've been able to streamline that a bit and prioritize our review of these projects, so we see this moving a little bit further, a little bit more smoothly in the future. So looking forward, we still see a need for this offset program. The Laguna TMDL is still 2 to 3 years away from completion. The city continues to have a zero no net loading effluent limitations for nitrogen and phosphorus in their permit. Their draft permit, which is scheduled to be heard by this board in January, still contains those zero no net loading limitations. So there's still a need for the city to have some way to comply with these. And once the TMDL is in effect, their effluent limits will be probably similarly low, so they will still need this program to comply. Unless, of course, another program comes along to supplant it, which is talked a little bit about by Dave Kuzmar. Valerie Minton also mentioned the water quality trading program. We look at this with great enthusiasm. It establishes a market for buyers and sellers of nutrients and nutrient credit opportunities. It makes it easier for the city of Santa Rosa and all the other point sources in the watershed to be able to identify credit opportunities and to connect with the sellers. What it means for the Regional Water Board staff is it has the potential of streamlining this review period for us tremendously, and that will be work wonders for us to be able to allocate our resources better. Because I can vouch for the fact that this has occupied a lot of my time since June working with these few offset projects that we've seen so far. So I suspect over the coming months, we'll hear a little bit more about this water quality training program and its effect on the city's offset program and a nutrient team deal. So I wanted to conclude with this last slide, just identifying me as the primary contact for this program and for the Santa Rosa permit, for that matter. I'd also point out the Nutrient Offset Program webpage, where we identify the projects that are outstanding, the ones that are proposed, and we'll have the actual project there for review, and the determination of the executive officer will be there as well, and any response to comments that we might receive as part of the public process. And finally, for those who want to be kept apprised of what's happening with this project, they can go to our general subscription page and subscribe to Nutrient Offset Program news through a LIRS list. And so that concludes my presentation. And I'd be happy to take any questions you have.
Charles, thank you for the information. Let me ask you, so accounting on this program, as I recall, the city doesn't discharge a known and finite quantity of discharge to Laguna system every season. It's been quite variable and low, actually, in the last several years, is my recollection of the information. And so how do you do this? Do you account then in arrears so you would offset this year from what they did last year? So we have this kind of moving target that's always 1 year behind?
Well, it's actually a three-year averaging period. That's the way the program is set up, you know, in acknowledging the fact that they're a bit at the mercy of the weather.
Right.
More often than not these days, they don't need to discharge. And, you know, in the average years, they don't really need to discharge. They have a lot of storage. They have a lot of opportunities for water reuse through landscape irrigation and geysers reuse. Wet years, they may have to discharge some, and they can't really predict how much that's going to be. So we worked it into the program to allow them to use a three-year averaging period. So the way the timing's worked out here, the final limits for nitrogen were supposed to go into effect in November 2011. They were issued time schedule order by this board last year, I think it was, extending that one further year. So that would have made it November 2012, just last month. So now they need to start developing projects to offset their discharge. And in 3 years hence, because they're allowed to use a three-year averaging period, they will look back and use that three-year average to offset what they discharged this year, whatever it will be. It hasn't occurred yet.
Can I ask you, too, the status of the three projects that you put up, the Beretta Dairy? I saw some things kind of floating out there in comments that were out in the stratosphere about that project and some of the contention of it. But did that project, in fact, happen, and did Pepperwood actually happen?
Beretta was approved. I haven't heard, but I don't believe it's begun yet.
Okay.
I think it took so long to get it approved. I think they probably ran into some wet weather issues and couldn't do some of what they wanted. But maybe the city can speak to that. I think they may be providing some comments later.
Well, and in that vein, too, I mean, Beretta was kind of the first pancake out of the pan here. So, I mean, as that goes, you know, as CEQA process is figured out, as, you know, public comment gets figured out, as people become more aware of what your efforts are and what the project looks like coming in the door, I could see that that could get maybe easier, maybe more streamlined, maybe a little bit more comfortable with the process and the mechanisms that are in place.
I think that's what the public is looking for, just a little bit more comfort that we're giving it an adequate review and that they have an opportunity to see it, comment on it, and their comments are going to be considered by us.
Well, and also in that vein, too, I think that, you know, Mr. Kuzmar, in his presentation, you know, talked about the opportunities for maybe nutrient offset program or other types of programs that could be implemented into or are going to be implemented into TMDL implementation. So, you know, this is a bit on the front. It has been for a while, but nonetheless, I think it has utility from the standpoint that as it's plowing through that process and setting forth how that program could work and maybe integrates with what Sodiomi's got coming, that could be a very good learning curve that is of value to what comes in the future.
Yes, the consultants that the city has been using for these projects is the same consultant helping Sodiomi RCD come up with the water quality trading program. So they will definitely be able to learn to take advantage of what's happened over the last year to make their program better.
Fantastic. Any comments or questions for Charles? Okay, Charles, we're going to move on. We've got a couple speaker cards. I've got David Gunin from the City of Santa Rosa. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you. My name is David Gunin with the City of Santa Rosa. I'm the Deputy Director of Operations for the city. And I'm speaking on behalf of the City of Santa Rosa. We are extremely proud to be part of this creative and innovative solution to this complex problem. But with that comes inherent difficulties and challenges. And so we, out of responsibility to our ratepayers and others, is we want to come forward to you to express how that's working on our end from the city's standpoint. First off, we want to express to assure the board that we are have made good faith efforts to comply with this policy, to identify and implement projects to satisfy the zero net loading. And we also want to express that the difficulty of actually implementing this project that Mr. Reed has just gone through. Since 2008, for about 4 years since the policy was adopted, we've been working very closely with staff to identify projects, going through the process he just explained, looking at the pros and cons and the nutrient offset the potential. In addition, we've worked with RCD providing support either through financial support and some legwork to apply and actually achieve that grant to help implement the policy, which will help support the TMDL implementation. The city and its ratepayers to date has committed over $1 million to this. And we are, at this point, we have two projects, as you just saw, that have been approved, and we have one that's in the public comment stage. The two projects, as you mentioned, that have been approved only account for 30% of our need. Hopefully, the Nunes project will satisfy the remaining portion of that need. But the two that have been approved to date, if you calculate out what the cost of per credit is, it ends up being about $1.50 to $5.50 a credit, and we need about 50,000 credits per year to satisfy our need. The Nunes project, which you saw up there, we're currently working with the owner's representative on that project. We decided to take the start up front, put the expenditures and the effort in to submit the project to the regional board for approval. But on a parallel track, we're also working with the owner's representative to actually see if we can implement that project. So we haven't come to terms yet to identify if that's a viable solution to us yet, but we want to be prepared that if it does get approved, that we're in position to actually make that happen. At this point, the city's not aware of any additional feasible nutrient offset opportunities besides these three properties. We've looked at a lot of different properties. We've looked at a lot of different options over the past 4 years, but we're committed to continuing exploring new options with staff and looking at creative ways to find additional needs if that's the case. And so taking it back to why we're here, we are trying to achieve a zero net loading. That's based off of not a demonstrated water quality need, but it's based off a legal interpretation of what's needed without the technical data until a TMDL is developed. So the city's anxiously awaiting the TMDL to be developed so that the nutrient control effort is more evenly allocated to the sources of impairment in the Laguna. And finally, we remain fully committed to working collaboratively and finding creative solutions to this, and with the ultimate goal of protecting the Laguna Santa Rosa.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Goonan? Thank you very much, David. I have one additional speaker card for Brenda Edelman.
Thank you, Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I just have a few brief comments. I am not an expert on dairies, I want to initially state that, but I did provide extensive comments, partly on the urging of other environmentalists, and I was looking at the issue closely, and I totally sympathize with, you know, both your board and the city of Santa Rosa in the difficulty of finding appropriate solutions to the problem. But one thing that came out that was mentioned adamantly by other environmentalists was the concern that some of this work is work that would have been legally required of the dairies anyway, and that is a significant issue for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. The part that bothered me the most was that I did spend quite a bit of time doing an extensive letter, which I submitted during the comment period, and then heard by way of the grapevine that the project was approved. And I would really like to request that some kind of letter go to commenters explaining the decision, or just some kind of acknowledgement of the fact that comments were provided. And I mean, there was no meeting, no hearing, nothing. We heard nothing except through the grapevine that this project, the Beretta project, was approved. I'm also, I want to request that some kind of acknowledgement occur and perhaps some kind of explanation for why the concerns that were expressed weren't necessarily agreed to by the executive officer in the course of making a decision. And I suppose that would be really true with the Nunnis project, too, with all this manure management. An explanation of why this board would feel that that was not a requirement for the person who created that problem in the first place. And I think in general, this is a big problem that some of us see private landowners doing things that damage the environment, and then the government comes along and takes over the problem, and it's the public that ends up paying for it. And I see this as a general problem on many levels. And I just want to emphasize that I am hopeful that the people creating the problem will be held responsible within the law for remedying it and not just burden the public all the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brenda. Charles, can I ask you back up for a minute, please? Just as a follow-up to that, because I started to think bigger here for a minute after Mr. Kuzmar exercised my brain and about this whole thing of TMDL compliance and nutrient trading, and we're hearing about, you know, there's some real things happening on that front. So as I understood the Beretta dairy, because I heard a little bit about it when that comment was going on, there was concern about it being a requirement under the dairy permit or under some existing permit, and you basically touched on that. At the same time, I could foresee that because there are limited opportunities for nutrients, and we're talking about nitrogen and phosphorus here, there's a limited universe of that out there. But at the same time, I could see in the future perhaps something like stormwater under MS4 program. And just to kind of round that out a bit, if offsets are identified out there, whether it be a dairy or an MS4, how then, how's that been viewed, and how do you see maybe that going, to get to that issue that, well, this should have, could have, or maybe would have been handled under a different program?
Well, as far as stormwater goes, the resolution in the program explicitly prohibits credits being used, credits coming from a stormwater, from projects that are required under the stormwater permit. That's one we wanted to exclude.
And as clarification, too, not only in talking about this nutrient offset program, but future, whether it got into a TMDL as an implementation program then as well. And so I just wanted you to broaden that. So not just specific, Charles, to this nutrient offset program, to this discharger.
Well, that would be for the board to decide. And I imagine there's some legal issues there. I'm not really equipped to answer those. So I would prefer, I don't think I can.
Okay. And again, at the same time, I would say that I raised a bit of a voice about this during the adoption of the dairy program, because I don't want to see necessarily on the other side of this that a dairyman who's trying to improve his operation and he gets put in a position of violation because he's trying to improve something. So there's kind of facets to this thing. And I see that the nutrient offset program or maybe even sediment, I can't foresee where the trading programs could go as an incentivized program to, you know, here's RCDs that are out here on the front edge developing an offset program that goes beyond what City of Santa Rosa has to their wastewater discharge offset. And this, I think, is going to get bigger. And I think it bears some thought about, because, again, I don't want to see a dairy person or, for that matter, somebody else out here that's trying to do something. But then, again, there's the other side of that, which Ms. Edelman brought forth, which is, listen, you know, some of this, we're kind of on this edge. We kind of have some different facets to this, whether you're looking at it from what point of view and perspective are we trying to get at here.
Well, you've brought it up, a question that's being talked about nationwide, actually. At what point are projects going to be eligible that appear to be required by some other regulatory tool? And I sense from the EPA that there's a bit of, they're tending to be a little bit more flexible in that regard. And I think there's going to perhaps be a change in thinking about this. In order to get the water quality improvements that we want, we're going to have to think a little bit more flexibly, a little bit more out of the box, and not be so rigid in using these permitting mechanisms.
Well, and at the same time, I mean, this potentially gets bigger, right? As TMDL implementation with this highly urbanized watershed of the Laguna or the Russian River, I could see that this could be an effective tool out here. It sounds like more is coming on that, which I welcome. At the same time, I think we have evolution of thought about how these programs and offsets apply, and it sounds like you guys are thinking about that, and I think that's really good. Did you have something to add to that, Mona?
Yes, I did. This is Mona Doherty, Senior Water Resource Control Engineer in charge of wastewater and stormwater programs. I just wanted to mention that we have been considering ways to work with the stormwater programs. There might be opportunities above and beyond what is required. So that is something we're considering. Okay. And we're going to be happy to be talking with the city more about that and with other dischargers. The other thing that really I think shows a lot of potential for the future is restoration projects, both wetland and stream, and those generally are not required by another regulatory tool unless it's a project-specific 401 or dredge and fill project. So that to me is a real wealth of opportunities to really provide some excellent water quality benefit to the watershed and provide compliance opportunities while still keeping in our goal to not have it be things that are already required by another permitting program.
And I think that's really good. I think that as this whole front gets pushed forward on implementation, I mean, as Mr. Kuzmar again, you know, demonstrated, you can't unring the bell of what's gone on in the Laguna over the past 150 years of impairment. But what we have in front of us then is the opportunities to get what's going to become load allocations and waste load allocations, and how do you get at that? I could foresee that this nutrient offset program, not just for the City of Santa Rosa, but for others out there as well, could provide an opportunity with incentive, provide some money, provide some grant funding and partners out here. And again, looking at it sunny side up, I think that's good. At the backside of it, I do agree with Ms. Edelman that, you know, we want to be careful and cognizant of the fact that, well, there are programs out here, and it sounds like there's evolution of thought on that. So I think that's really good. The other thing I would say is that I would ask you guys to think about, if you are approving projects and putting it up on LIRIS, then we put out, I don't know, it would be a question of what kind of information do you put out as a notification, either to people that participate within the public process of approval, then what are you guys putting out as staff up on LIRIS or our website for public comment to make sure that we're being inclusive and responsive to people that are out there working on these fronts. So just a question, because Brenda Edelman brings that up, and of course, you know, we have people that comment on all sides of this, so, and to be inclusive on that, which I imagine you guys are.
We're trying to improve. When the Beretta project was proposed and under review, we didn't have LIRIS set up. There wasn't a good way. We hadn't developed a procedure for notifying people yet, and it wasn't really spelled out in the program, the resolution and program itself. So we kind of came up with this on the fly. We now have the LIRIS list for anybody who wants to sign up for it. We have that in place, and the notification lets people know that there's a project proposed and where they can go to see the details of it and our general, there's also a document on there that gives our general thoughts of the initial proposal.
Well, and again, evolution does happen, right? And I appreciate your guys' work on that front. I know you're plowing new ground here, and I think that's important because, again, I see this thing going on beyond where we're at right now.
I just wanted to add, this is Mona Doherty again, that even before the LIRIS list, we did put out a notification when it was formally approved.
Okay.
However, there was some discussion ahead of time, and that may have made for pre-approval rumors.
It's okay. Understood. Any comments or questions from other board members on this? Well, listen, guys, thank you very much for your work and attention to this. Thank you, City of Santa Rosa, for what you're doing out there. We're going to break for lunch. We will be back at 1:15 going into lunch and close session. Thank you very much.
Thank you.